Hello, my name is Claire Rowntree. I'm a partner in the personal injury team at Boyes Turner. I act for individuals who have suffered from life-changing injuries as a result of a road traffic accident or an accident at work or in a public place. My role is to recover compensation for the injuries and financial losses or expenses suffered by my injured clients. For example, loss of earnings and pension, cost of care, rehabilitation and medical treatment, adaptations to their home or vehicle, and special aids and equipment. However, it's very important to ensure, where possible, that my clients are able to access ongoing rehabilitation to help them make the best possible recovery from their physical and psychological injuries. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Ian McCurdy, a consultant in rehabilitation medicine, and Alison Ballard, an occupational therapist, who are co-founders of Remedy Healthcare, to talk about rehabilitation in complex trauma and musculoskeletal injuries and amputation. Hello, Ian. Thank you for joining me today.
Delighted to join.
Welcome, Alison. It's great to talk to you today on this topic.
Hello, Claire. Thank you for having me.
To start with, can you please give our listeners some background about you both?
I trained initially as a GP and was in the army, and then switched to rehabilitation and sports medicine, and spent many years working at Headley Court, the main military rehabilitation centre, but also spent many years working in high performance sport. And over the last 5 years, have joined with Alison to set up Remedy Healthcare to, as we're going to discuss, address the need for musculoskeletal rehabilitation in the civilian population.
I hail from sunny Australia, where I trained as an occupational therapist. I came over to the UK in 2004. I worked within the NHS, the private sector, did some medico-legal work, and also within the military with Ian. And as Ian said, several years ago, I got the itch to go into business and set up Remedy Healthcare with Ian.
And can you tell us a little bit more about Remedy Healthcare, the sort of types of patients that you work with and support?
I mentioned the military. Remedy Healthcare came out of essentially the closure of Headley Court, which is the military rehabilitation centre. And so most of the team that we work with have experience of working with really quite severe and complex musculoskeletal injury rehabilitation in a military setting. And as I say, I've also worked quite a lot in high performance sport, returning people to performance. I think the key elements of our service are that experience, but also that we adopt a very interdisciplinary model, so it's very joined up. We communicate continually within the team, and we're led by consultants in rehabilitation medicine, which again is the model that you see in the military. We're very aspirational, we have a very can-do attitude. We aim to improve function and outcome, predominantly using exercise-based programs, and we also support use peer support and group therapy where possible. But ultimately, we're out to make sure that people's performance is optimised. The people we treat are musculoskeletal trauma, as you said, which is usually complex multiple fractures, limb salvage, limb loss, peripheral nerve injury, but often a combination of some or all of those injuries. And one of the reasons it's worth noting that Remedy has emerged is that within trauma, and if you look in a major trauma centre, 75% of cases will be musculoskeletal trauma, probably 15% of primary traumatic brain injury. And given that there are over 20,000 admissions to major trauma centres each year, and those numbers have doubled in the last 10 years, and survival has gone up from 50% to 69% from a trauma centre, there are more people suffering musculoskeletal trauma and surviving it, and therefore needing rehabilitation. But sadly, for reasons we probably haven't got time to go into, the NHS provision of rehabilitation, specialist rehabilitation, is predominantly neurologically focused. And so despite the large numbers of musculoskeletal cases needing rehabilitation, there's very little statutory service support for them. And hence Remedy has ended up working within the personal injury sector, where we hope to enable clients to release funds from defendant insurance to be able to deliver this type of rehabilitation.
Thank you, Ian. And certainly what me and my colleagues see in our severely injured clients is that there is so much provision within the NHS and then it tends to fall off a cliff. So dealing with those ongoing problems, getting them out of hospital, back to home or not, is a real challenge. And that's where rehabilitation plays a big role in our personal injury claims. So I just wanted to ask you both. So in patients with serious upper or lower limb injuries, where they and their medical team want to ultimately avoid amputation and salvage the limb, what sort of challenges do you come across in treating these types of injuries and patients in a rehabilitation context?
I mean, these cases can be really, really complex. These individuals often have multiple complex fractures, soft tissue injuries, require internal and external fixation. And these external fixators, for example, can be really big, really cumbersome, and they can have quite a huge bearing on the patient's function, the patient's body image. So, and I compare to an amputation case, with an amputation of a limb, a upper limb, lower limb, a digit, it's defined, it's definitive. The limb is not going to be growing back. When you've got these limb salvage cases, these patients are having to deal with these burning questions in the back of their brain. Am I going to keep my limb? Am I going to have this pain for a significant period of time? Am I going to walk normally again? Will I ever run again? So they've got these questions in the back of their head. So I think they can be quite challenging in itself. And that's where having an MDT there, a multidisciplinary team there from the outset is really important to manage all of these concerns. There's often significant wounds. There could be pin sites, split skin grafts. You need that medical oversight to manage that with these external fixators, looking at when they're going to weight bear again, the physiotherapist, exercise rehab instructor, being able to enable those muscles to be maintained as strong as possible, range of movement in the joints to be maintained or progressed, so that when these external fixators come off, the patient can hit the ground running.
And is there any difference between elective and traumatic amputation cases?
There is a significant difference. I mean, you might think, well, they both end up without the limb. But in elective amputation cases, as you just alluded to, they're often from what you might call failed limb salvage, but often as a result of chronic unremitting pain. And managing the pain is really important, and also understanding that just removing the limb doesn't necessarily guarantee a removal of the pain. And so one of the first things is to explore in a someone considering elective amputation what inputs and what treatments they have, and have they really exhausted all of those to get to the point where removing the limb is the answer. The other thing is realistic expectations. Clearly, none of us know what being an amputee is like, and people have preconceptions of what living as an amputee might be like. And it's really important to set those so that people enter this decision with realistic expectations of the longer term outcome. There are some advantages to elective, some opportunities. There's an opportunity to optimize the surgery, and there's often close discussion between prosthetist and surgeon about the surgery itself, including the possibility of considering targeted muscle reinnervation to reduce the risk of postoperative pain. There's also the opportunity, which there isn't in a traumatic case, to do what we would call prehabilitation, where you could both physically and mentally prepare people to get the best outcome. So the better shape you go into any operation, the quicker your recovery. And the other thing clearly is with an elective amputation, you have the ability to plan post-operatively in terms of putting services in place to get things going, get the right services in place.
And so at Remedy Healthcare, you talk about a multidisciplinary team. Can you just explain to our listeners who you involve as part of the multidisciplinary team?
So at Remedy, we have clinics for anybody to access any of our services. We run clinics, and whether they're for complex musculoskeletal, we have a specific clinic for that, or if there's an amputation case or even a pre-amputation case. And in all of our clinics, we are consultant-led, so a consultant in rehabilitation medicine, a physiotherapist, occupational therapist, and a psychologist. And for our amputation or pre-amputation cases, we have a prosthetist in the clinic as well. And the reason we do that is so that each discipline is able to assess the patient based on the questions that they want to ask for their own discipline. And everybody is there to hear it. So the patient's there, they can hear all of the questions that have been asked, obviously answering, and they know that everybody's heard the same answer. And it's very much, therefore, a team approach when we're planning the individual's rehabilitation. And what this does is it allows it to be client-centered and holistic. And it also allows it to be integrated. So we're very big advocates for interdisciplinary working. So there's a huge crossover within the disciplines of how we work. For example, pain management. So there's a requirement for the doctor to be involved looking at analgesia. There's the education around pain management and managing in non-pharmacological ways. So the occupational therapist, physiotherapist, psychologist are often involved. So if we're all working in an interdisciplinary way, we're all saying the same thing. We're all singing from the same hymn sheet, and therefore the patient's outcomes are therefore going to be better.
I just wanted to ask you about the role of psychological support in rehabilitation and also what the consequence of no psychological support is.
We very quickly realised early on that everybody needs some sort of psychological assessment and or support. So our clinical psychologists who have a lot of experience in trauma-based care are absolutely part of our core team. Their primary role actually is to identify psychological barriers to rehabilitation in that first assessment. And there are occasions where somebody's psychological health will impair their ability to respond to or even engage in physical rehabilitation. And there's just no point in trying to deliver a rehabilitation program under those circumstances without alongside it addressing the psychological needs of that individual.
Yeah, I absolutely cannot agree with you more. I certainly see many of my clients who just can't make that progress with their physical recovery until they've addressed some of those psychological aspects surrounding their injury.
It's often referred to as psychologically informed rehabilitation, isn't it? And, and you know, we wouldn't practice things any other way. A couple of obvious examples: anxiety impacts on someone's ability to engage in a process, and low mood impacts on energy levels. It's often associated with poor sleep, and that blunts their motivation to really want to do much. So, and also untreated PTSD, which is not that uncommon in our group of patients, can limit progression and the ability of an individual to move on with their lives. So on lots of different levels, at different levels of severity, these psychological morbidities absolutely do impact on outcome.
Do you think that ongoing rehab, so after you've delivered a rehabilitation program, do you think that ongoing rehabilitation is important? And if so, why?
Absolutely. It depends on the individual. When it comes to rehabilitation, it should be client focused and meaningful for the individual. Certainly with our amputees, often with new technology, might require more rehabilitation. So if you've got an upper limb amputee, it might be they've become functional with their upper limb prosthesis, learnt to use it in a functional sense, got to the end of their rehabilitation, and in 3 years' time, oh, there's a new piece of technology, or they've had TMR surgery, they need a new prosthesis, they therefore need to learn how to use that and integrate that into their life. And the same with a lower limb amputee.
And in a personal injury setting, so we ensure that when we settle a client's claim, there's a contingency fund for them to be able to access any new developments in aids or equipment or prosthetics and so on. And Alison, part of your role is around helping patients to have increased independence through specialist aids and equipment. Can you just explain what that involves?
I see there's two roles for equipment within rehabilitation. There's equipment for the rehabilitation journey, and there's equipment for the medium to long term. So during the rehabilitation journey, those pieces of equipment should be there to aid independence, function, safety. It doesn't need to be permanent. I see these items as more temporary. These items ultimately should be reevaluated often and then taken away as the patient doesn't need them, and then a new piece of equipment installed, and so on. Ultimately, what we're wanting to do is for the patient to use their own muscles, their own limbs, their own body to do the activity. And if they don't need a piece of kit, that is ideal. And the reasoning for that is, and certainly with Remedy Healthcare, we like to get the patient to a functional level where they're not reliant on kit. So if they're needing to go on holiday, they're not wanting to take a toilet frame, a shower chair, and all these items. That's just not logistically possible. Of course, with your amputees, there's certain things that are required, a wheelchair, a walk-in shower. These are major modifications. But making decisions around these major pieces of equipment, I feel, should certainly be made whilst you're in the middle or towards the end of the rehabilitation journey.
And what are the main priorities and concerns for you and your patients when involved in occupational therapy in the amputation context?
Within occupational therapy, there's certainly hurdles in a professional sense, but also with treating the patients. Professionally, I think there is the understanding of our role needs some work. Ultimately, I think we are often seen as equipment prescribers or people that go into the home and modify the home, whereas I think there's so much more we can do, certainly around rehabilitation, working closely with the wider MDT to progress function. And there's also an understanding that occupational therapists work with just the upper limb and physios work with just the lower limb. And again, as Dr. McCurdy was saying, it's about treating the whole person. And from a patient sense, what can be quite difficult is managing expectations. And often it's around the patient waiting. And that can be we've given them a new limb, which is fantastic. They're learning how to use it. It's a newfound level of independence. But we're having to restrict the amount that they can use that limb whilst their skin is building up a tolerance to the limb. And then on the other side, they could be midway through their rehabilitation program and their skin breaks down. And we're having to say to them, you can only wear your limb for a limited period of time, or you need to take that limb off while that wound is healing. And that's really difficult because the patient is often reliant on that limb for independence and we're having to restrict that. So that can be really, really difficult. And then there's trialing a limb. So if you've got a new upper limb prosthesis, for example, it actually offers them more independence. They trial it for say 6 to 8 weeks. We're then taking that away. So I think often it's about a patient regaining their independence, which is fantastic, and then us having to restrict that use because of the instances that I've just explained.
Thank you both so much. And so to close our podcast today, I just wondered if either of you had any closing thoughts that you wanted to share with our listeners.
This form of rehabilitation really does change people's lives. And there are so many people with musculoskeletal traumatic injuries whose lives have been shattered who would benefit from this form of rehabilitation, which, as we've discussed, is not widely available, certainly in the statutory sector. So our mission and our ambition is to try to raise awareness of the benefits of good quality specialist musculoskeletal rehabilitation such that more people are able to access it, either through the private sector or ideally through the NHS.
Thank you, Ian.
But it's been a pleasure.
And thank you very much, Alison.
Thank you, Claire.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe or like, depending on which platform you use. And you can find out more on our website, voiceturner.com.